There have been challenges in the Republican Party, in congressional races, Senate races. Tea Party has challenged the mainstream moderate Republican candidates, and you did not have that challenge at all. Tea Party hasn't really done all that well. What do you see as the future of the Tea Party, and will they exist for?
Well, you got to keep in mind, John, that the Tea Party is not a party. It's a self-identifying group, and a lot of people like to be identified with it because they see that as a winner. The Tea Party just became in existence from people who are saying we're tired of politics as usual and everyone's liberal and they want everything done in Washington. And so the conservatives, that kind of got a hold of it. Now, there are some who've been around for a long time and who really are not conservative. I mean, a good Thad Cochran in Mississippi. And if you remember, he actually lost in the first time around and then he came and won narrowly in the runoff. So that has been used, but not all that as effectively as people think. And a lot of people wanting to break into politics are trying to use that as the way to do it. And it has not been as effective as they would like.
So do you see that arm then, known as a Tea Party, as still being intact 10 years from now?
I think so, but certainly it's not any kind of a party. Now, you have to keep in mind, John, that in terms of ratings, and I'm talking about the ACU and, you know, all these different groups that do ratings. I have been rated as the number one most conservative, more than anybody else has. Everyone said it'll drop a little bit, but always in the top three. For that reason, I can do things that other people can't do, and I can be critical. I'll give you an example. If you read the Constitution, it says what we're supposed to be doing here. In Article 1, Section 8, two things. Strong national defense, and roads and highways. That's it. So that's the area where you could say, are you a big spender? But I'm a conservative in all the other areas because I see that as where we're supposed to go. So what practical effect did that have? We have a lot of wannabe conservatives in the United States Senate who are trying to use any bill that has a lot of zeros in it, like a highway reauthorization bill, to oppose, to demagogue, I might say, on the floor of the Senate. Well, we had, and I authored the last extension to take us, it was actually a highway reauthorization bill, a 27-month bill, with the idea we had some time then to do a real one. And there are a lot of Republicans on the floor who really weren't all that conservative, but they want people to think that they are, and they were using that. My argument to them was, you're wrong. You're just saying what people perceive to be true. In fact, the only alternative to a new highway reauthorization bill is extensions. Everyone will tell you, and it's not even debatable, extensions take 30% off the top. Do a one-month extension, then another month extension. You can't keep the workforce going. You don't get any reforms and all that. So the conservative position is for a highway reauthorization bill. Now, I used that in the Senate to not much avail. But then the night that I passed that in the Senate, I went over to the House. And I got all the members of the committee over there. It's called TNI, Transportation and Infrastructure. There are 33 Republicans. Many of those 33 Republicans consider themselves to be Tea Party. They're trying to be conservatives. I explained what I just explained to you. The conservative position is get something where you can do reforms, where you can have it for a five-year term and get a real reauthorization bill. The alternative to that costs you 30% more. Every single last one of the 33 Republicans voted with me on the floor of the House. I've never been so proud. And I said this in the Senate to some of those who are arguing against it. It's kind of complicated, but I'm in an enviable position of being able to say that with conviction because I'm considered to be the most conservative.
Do some of those young conservatives argue with you on your stance? Do they think that you have come off as maybe even almost liberal in some areas?
Oh, no, they never do. They can't take that risk because they know that'll never sell. And that's why I can do it, and they can't. You want to know another area that is even more sensitive than that? I gave you one of my books, I think.
Yes.
All right, I want you to go back and read the chapter on earmarks. To me, the most demagogue of all of the arguments they use is when the Republicans came out in the House and put a moratorium on earmarks, which did nothing more than transfer to the president the ability to do these things that we are supposed to do constitutionally, rather than to explain it. Just reread that chapter. Once you read it, you can't argue. And all of the guys whose names I won't repeat because they get mad every time I do, but they supposedly conservatives, they all know I'm right, but they don't have the courage. Frank Luntz, Fred Davis, And others said, Inhofe, you're right, but you'll never sell the public on this idea because they've already entrenched the earmarks are bad. They said, it doesn't make any difference. There's a clear right and wrong to this. And I have in that chapter what Sean Hannity called the 102 most egregious earmarks. I'm talking about the turtle bridges and all that stuff. In that, the one thing they all had in common, not one, was a congressional earmark. They were all Obama earmarks. Since we refused to spend the money in these areas, it went back to his bureaucracy, and he did it. That's so obvious, and yet that's why I'm willing to do things like that.